Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, I want to thank you again for this time that we're gathered here. We trust that you speak your word to us and that you open our eyes and our hearts to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about only believe and you shall see the glory of God. I want everybody to say it with me. Only believe and you shall see the glory of God. I want us to say it again. Only believe. Colossians 3:11 focuses us on what is very critical and what is very important. And every Christian must know this so that you are not pushed into what is not important for you. In this new life, reading New Living Translation. New Living Translation, please. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a what? Gentile, circumcised or what? Uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And he lives what? All of us. You know, people, look up here, please. People, all the blessings we have in Christ, we talk of success, prosperity. It really has one goal, is to make you a person of influence. Is to make you what? Person of influence. If what you have is not being used to influence people, its value is diminished seriously. It's greatly diminished. And people of influence are people of one thing. Paul said, this one thing, I what? I do. Focus on one thing. When you see all this, jack of what? All trade, they're usually master of them. People of influence, let me talk to all these young people. Don't let your life be all over the place. Don't junk it all over the place. Let me feel out here. Feel what's happening there. Feel, you don't need all of that nonsense. People of great influence have been people of one thing, not me. And so the Bible is telling us the thing that matters. And look at Paul, that was only what he focused on his life. He focused on nothing. Didn't he? He said, when he came to Corinth, I don't want to know any other thing among you people. All I want to know is who? Christ crucified. Because why? Christ is all that matters. Somebody was asking me about Holy Communion, whether they would take it in the house or take it in the Holy Ghost Life Center. I was laughing. The Bible didn't tell us to take it in your homes. When you use the word home, the church didn't have property like this. They were meeting in homes. Because the church just started. And Jesus had it with his disciples. And we didn't see the disciples go home and have it with their families. Paul said, when you gather to go to the home, because he said, the church that is in the house of so, they were meeting in homes. And, brethren, Christ is all that matters. You see, we love rituals, because we came from a background of ritualism. Most of our background is full of rituals. So we love rituals a lot. I want to remind us that you can abuse Holy Communion. And if you do, the Bible tells you what happens. And number two, I don't even know why I'm saying this. You know, God told Moses, he said, lift up the what? Lift up the serpent. He said, if Israel looks at that serpent, what will happen? But you know, the same serpent killed them. Why? They started abusing it. It became God to them. Holy Communion is not God to you. Holy Communion shouldn't be God to you. Don't turn it into a ritual, for God's sake. Just a reminder of the death of Christ. Don't turn it into a ritual. I'm warning you now, you mess with Holy Communion, what you see, you get. Because the Bible told us what happened to people who do that. Why don't you leave it the way it is? Why don't you just leave it the way it is and go and focus on Christ Jesus? Why don't you study your Bible? Why don't you teach your Bible? The Bible said Christ is all that what matters. In this new life, Christ is all that matters. And we've been talking about living in the reality of what Jesus paid for us to have. Living in the life of Christ. And that's really very important. That we live, have an experiential life that reflects everything that Jesus paid for. Because now we're living in the kingdom of God. I hope we know that. You didn't know that? You are waiting until you die? You are living where? The kingdom. People say, make heaven. You're already there. What other kingdom? If you are not in it here, you will be in it when you die. You're already in the kingdom. Can I hear amen? Amen? Because we don't read the Bible. We don't believe scripture. Look at the Bible. Colossians 1:13. And see. Colossians 1:13. Who had delivered us from the power of what? Colossians 1:13, not Colossians 3:11. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of what? Darkness. And where are we now? Transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. So where are you? The kingdom of God. In his kingdom. You know, many Christians don't know this. They think when they go to heaven, then they will judge them whether they will make heaven or not. No, the Bible said those who reject Christ are judged already. But there's no judgment for those who believe in Christ Jesus, because we have been translated already into what? His kingdom. And this is why many Christians are fearful to enjoy the things of the kingdom. They think that there is something else to do to come into the kingdom. You have been translated into that kingdom already. All the blessings of that kingdom belongs to you. Can we read that? Let's read Colossians 1:13 again, please. Let's read it together, everybody. Let's go. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of the... Stop there. Is it he's going to rescue you? Has he done that? Okay, rescued you from the kingdom of darkness. And what happened? Transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus. If you're in the kingdom, can I hear amen? Amen. So there's nothing like making heaven. You're already in heaven, for God's sake. It's the same kingdom of God in heaven. The same family of God in heaven and earth. The same. We are his body here. We represent him here. You are representing that kingdom right here. Wherever you are, the authority of that kingdom is there. Aren't you in Christ? In whom are you living? I'm in Christ. Come and pull me out. Let me see. And nobody will pull you out. Because you are in Christ. It's an everlasting covenant. You are the only one who can crawl out there and walk away. But as long as you want to be there, you'll be there. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
And because we're in Christ, we are privileged to be people who have abundance. All the blessings of that kingdom is our own. Because we're heirs of Christ. See, this is why people don't pray with faith. Because they don't know where they are, don't understand their privilege, don't understand what Christ has done for them. They are waiting until they achieve something. They go into the kingdom or sneak into the kingdom or go through the back door and get something from the kingdom and run out again. Because, come on, man, you are there 24/7. All the blessings of God, all the things that belong to Jesus belongs to me. Which one belongs to you? I didn't hear you. Tell your neighbor what you are saying. He doesn't believe you. Tell your neighbor what you are saying. John 1:16. John 1:16. For from his abundance, whose abundance? Christ. God's abundance. Jesus said, all my Father has is my own, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. From his abundance, we have all we are going to receive. Church, I didn't hear you. We are going to receive. I didn't hear you, believers. We are going to receive. Whose report will you believe? What did he say? We have all. What is all? If you're there, let me see your hand up. Come on. Let's take a count this one. Wave it to me. Make the devil mad. Wave it to me. Come on. Make the devil crazy. Wave it to me. Let the devil see you mean what you say. Come on. Wave it loud. Come on. Make the devil mad. I have received it. Come on. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have all received. All. You, Iman. You, my brother. You. We are joined to Christ. We are joined to Jesus. We are joined to Jesus. We are joined to Jesus. We have become joint heir of everything God has. Because Jesus said, all the Father has belongs to me and belongs to you. We have received from, he said, one gracious blessing after another. Gracious. Why is the word gracious? It's grace. Unmerited. It's given for one reason. Because of Jesus. That's why Jesus is all that matters. You didn't receive it because of anything else. If you are not joined to Christ, you can't get it. See, my wife is joined to me. That's why her name is Mrs. Emmanuel. That's why my credit card is suffering. I won't say more. Let me leave that. Why? She has a right to it. My wife has a right to it. She doesn't have to beg it. Oh, men, can we please be what God said? Your wife has a right to everything. You have. She doesn't have to come and crawl and you come and I say, I'm giving you this. Go and buy what you like. The rest, who owns it? It's all of you. You should anticipate what your wife needs and be able to go ahead and call her and say, honey, you need this. You need this. How about your family? How about your dad? How about your mom? You don't wait for her to tell you the mother is sick. She'll be able to know and say, God, mom is sick. What do we do? Because all that money belongs to her. She has access to it. All this restriction is not Christianity. It's not what Jesus taught us. He taught us we are his bride. He said the same way like family. So if all that Jesus has is mine, all I have belongs to my wife. Don't look at me like that. Let me tell you people the truth. Until my mother-in-law died, my wife never one day told me, let's do this for her. I will anticipate it. I will do it and do more. And she will say, it's enough. I said, no, she's my mom. She will tell you if I'm telling her. Never one day. When she died, the daughter called me and said, the 25,000 you sent, Mama, is what we saw by her bed. Remaining 5,000. And I spoke to her a day before she passed away. Because your spirit will connect. Brethren, this is Christianity. It hasn't made me poor. If all that Jesus has belongs to you, why is it that what you have doesn't belong to your wife? Why do you have to, why do you restrict her? Yeah? Tell me what. I called her, I said, listen, I'm telling you the real truth. I called my wife, I said, your car is due for servicing. My wife doesn't know anything about servicing a car. Even there's this thing that showed, you know, this thing like spanner that shows in her car. She called me and said, what is it? I said, servicing your car now. I told her, I said, your car is due for servicing. I said, you take the Mercedes, I'll take your car and go service it for you. She doesn't have to beg me to do that. She doesn't have to beg me. She doesn't have to beg me for God's sake. It's all right. It's all right. I don't know why I'm saying this. But it will bless you if you do these things. Because she's not a slave. She's joint heir with you. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
She's what? Joint heir. And don't call her that woman. She's not that woman, for God's sake. God didn't call her that woman. God called her your wife. If God called her your wife, that's her name. You know, after David took the wife of Uriah, God never changed that name. He will always call Uriah, he said, always call that woman the wife of Uriah, whom David killed. Read the Bible. Never changed it. He didn't call her David's wife. God didn't never call that woman David's wife. He will always refer to that woman as the wife of Uriah that David took. If I'm not introducing oil, shouldn't it be easy for her to reach it? Why do you think God will give you what you can reach? Why do you think God will give you what is difficult to access? Why did we learn this thing? The easiest thing is what is yours. God is not hiding it. God is not making it difficult. My brothers and sisters, if only we can listen to God, you will walk into incredible manifestation of blessing. Because that's what God died to give you. He came and died to make it available. He said, I gave you my son, what will I not give you? Why do you think God is withholding healing from you, withholding prosperity from you? If you want this instruction, you have to pray for 5 days before God will instruct you what to do. Where did you hear all this kind of stuff? So simple. 2 Corinthians 11:3. I'm reading the King James Version, New King James Version, because these other translations, you know, let me tell you something about these translations. Sometimes the people translating it do not get the spirit of the word, so they use natural something to translate. I'm telling you what is true. I'm telling you it's true. So if I'm using New King James, he said, but I fear, lest somehow, as a serpent deceived who? Eve, by his craftiness. So your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You're so simple that the devil wants to deceive you and make it complicated. So simple. Very simple. Very, very simple. Because it's already been given. So our Lord Jesus Christ told us how to experience these things. In John 11:40, Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe it? John 11:40, not 14. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would what? Believe. Then you will see all these things. It's one condition. Not two conditions. There's not two conditions to this thing. Just believe it. And you see it manifest. And believe what? Again, clarity is here. Colossians 1:27. God decided to let his people, I'm reading ERV, easy to read version. God decided to let his people know just how rich and glorious that truth is. That secret truth. What is that secret truth? Which is for all people. Is that Christ, what? Lives in you. His people. His, our hope for glory. Can we read that last one? He is our hope for glory. Come on, let's go it again. He is our hope for glory. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. It's our hope for glory. If you remove Jesus Christ, there's no hope for glory. You don't see nothing. And that's what Ephesians 2 was saying. He said, without Christ and without hope in this world. Ephesians, I think, 2 verse 12. Can you put it up? Without Christ, without hope in this world. Without covenant, without connection to God. Ephesians 2, I think verse 12. Remember that in the past, you were without Christ. Remember, it says now, Christ in you is the only hope of glory. But now you are without Christ. You were not citizens of Israel. And you did not know about the agreements with the promises that God made to his people. You had no hope and you did not know God. Hopeless in this world. Without Christ, no hope. No glory. So any Christian who wants to see the glory and wants to see it, do it without Christ is in the region of hopelessness. He will see nothing. Without Christ, no hope. Put a new King James Version of this Ephesians 2:12. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And without God, where? This world. No hope. No hope. And without God, without Christ, no God. Without Christ, forget about God. Without Christ, God is not there. Without Christ, God is not there. Without Christ and without God. You want to see the glory without Christ, you see nothing. Without Christ, no God. That's why the Bible said, Christ is all that what? Matters. Now let's go back and read that Colossians 1, 27 again. God decided to let his people know just how rich and glorious that truth is. Okay, let me read it all. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles, which is Christ what? In you, the what? So with Christ, there is hope to see the glory. Without Christ, there's no hope. The only reason that you see this glory is who? You don't hear me. Is who? I didn't hear you. Is who? I want you to say it louder. Is who? Christ. You remove him, hopelessness. Because the blessing was given in him, through him, by his own grace. We said of his fullness we received. Of his fullness. From him everything came. From him everything came. From him everything came. Of his fullness. From him everything came. Which one came from you? I'm asking. So why do you want to interject yourself? Why do I want to interject myself? So we boast about how good we are, how we have impressed God. Can't impress God. Nobody can impress. Forget about it. Can't impress God. The Bible said it is impossible to impress him without faith. And that faith is faith in Christ. It's impossible. No man can do that. Which impression are you giving? Compare your righteousness with that of Jesus. Where do you fall in? You bring to God your righteousness. You send to God without Christ. He said, I don't want you. You don't see me. You bring to God Christ's righteousness. That's what I accept. Paul knew it. He said, I don't want the righteousness that comes from what? From me. He says, that of Christ. Because nothing compares with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing. And the devil deceive people, complicate it. It's so simple. Everything is provided for us. It's so simple. But the devil wants you to go and produce your own. And then you have headache, thinking God will heal you. God will do this thing because you are packaging your righteousness up, and it's never coming together. Packaging it all the day, it's never coming together because the devil will show you why it doesn't fit in. And you are there, what is yours you won't touch because of fear. And Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the manifestation. And the story of Lazarus, am I communicating to you at all? If you are getting something, say amen. The story of Lazarus, you know, the raising of Lazarus from the dead really illustrates the story of the Christian who was raised from dead too, rotten in sin, dead in sin. I told you that Jesus came to seek us in a rotten situation. He came to the dunghill, rotten, to seek you and I, and to pull us out of that smelly stuff. Rotten. That's what we were. And so the story of Lazarus, let's read from John 11, 23. Jesus said, your brother will what? Rise and be alive again. The matter said, I know, sir, that he will rise to live again at the time of what? Resurrection on the last day. You know, some people put off their blessing until the last day. But the Bible says, now is the day. Yeah. You have the blessing now. So many of you are in the church of Martha. He's your pastor. So Martha is teaching you that this thing will happen last day. Then that's when you go into the kingdom of God. That's when you make heaven finally. Yes, now. Because you haven't made heaven now, so you don't, the blessings are not yours. Yes. Make it finally. You see, the mindset, oh God of mercy, mindset can rob you of everything. Jesus said to her, I am what? I didn't hear you. I am what? It's right now. He said, I'm the resurrection. I'm right here. What resurrection? Wait, I'm right here, yeah, right now. I'm the resurrection, he said. And I am the life. I'm here. Resurrection is here. Life is here. What are you talking about? Everyone who believes in me will have what? Life, even if they die. And then continued, verse 20, the next verse. Oh. Did you people buy this on sale? Or from Lagos? And everyone who lives and believes in me will never really die. Martha, do you believe this? Let's continue. Martha answered, yes, Lord. How? I what? Believe that you are the Messiah and you are the Son of God and you are the one who was coming the world. So Martha came out here and was dancing. Everybody said, man, this woman really believes. Thinks she believes. He thinks she believes. Let's see now if she believes. Verse, go down to verse 38. And let's see if Martha believes. All this talk, beautiful, wonderful talk. Let's see if she believes. Again, feeling very upset, Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave with a large stone covering the entrance. He said, move the stone, what? Listen to Martha who confessed Jesus. Listen. Martha said, but Lord, it has been what? 4 days since Lazarus died. There will be a bad smell here. This somebody who told Jesus, yeah, I believe, oh, you are the Son of God. I believe you're this. Yeah, I believe you're that. I believe that. And then Jesus said, okay, remove it. I'm the resurrection now. The woman came and said, sir, you have no idea what is happening. This man is what? I know you told me you are the resurrection, but he is what? Don't go there. You will fill this place with a smell. You see, what Martha did is what many Christians do. It's called mental accent, just saying things you don't believe. But Lord, if it had been, but Lord, it has been 4 days since Lazarus died. there will be a basement. Martha was the sister of the dead man. Then Jesus said to her, remember what I told you. You forgot. You don't believe. You don't believe me. You don't. You don't know who I am. Remember what I told you. I said that if you believed, you will see God's divine greatness. That's all you need to do, Martha. Stop all this theology. A lot of times we say we believe, what, like Martha will quote scripture. Don't believe that. I keep saying it here. I said, many people don't believe. Because the other things they say will tell you they don't believe in it. Jesus just introduced himself. I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. You know, it's not end of life, it's now. Remove this stone. And the woman said, sir, I don't believe what you said. Because this place here, all you're going to do is make it worse. Second Kings 5:11, we saw in the Old Testament something like that. But Naaman became angry and left. He said, what did he say? I thought Elisha would at least do what? Come out and stand in front of me and call on the name of the Lord, his God. And I thought he would do what? Wave his hand over my body and then him. That's what many people think. Unless I fall down, there's a wave, the man of God. Look, I was studying about Moses, and the Lord told me something, and that is true. He said, people who depend on men do what Israel do when they don't see Moses. They create another God. Because they say, this Moses that brought us, we don't see him again. So they didn't even know God. They are simply following Moses. He told me, he said, people who depend on men, when they don't see the men, they create another God because they don't know the God that is ever present with them. He said, that's why you should teach people to know me. So he said, I wish you would come and wave his hand. I wish he would do Holy Communion. It's all good. It's okay. But if you don't have faith in Christ and his testimony, you're finished with that. It's okay. I'm not saying it's okay. It's not okay. But if it doesn't remind you of Christ in remembrance of me, so your faith will be in me. In me. For those that trust in him shall not be put to shame. Not in rituals. He's the only hope of glory. That's not another one. So, 1 Timothy 2:5. Praise the Lord. It's too quiet here. I came from New Hampshire this morning. It's white mascot. Everybody's so nice. Hello, how are you? I said, this is not like New Jersey. God, my friend, leave me alone. Ah, let me go back to New Jersey. There's a little noise in East Orange. You know, early in the morning. Yeah! In New Jersey, they broke up, but they are so gentle. So, you know, everybody is going. Even when old woman saw me, good morning, how are you? I said, how are you, ma'am? Hey, let me get out of here. And it was raining heavily. This small car, don't buy that car. It's one man car. Small. Have you ever seen this small car? The thing passed me. I got angry. I said, even this small thing in rain, It's passing me. It wasn't long. It parked somewhere. It's done. No more. It can't move again. Rain has there. Do you know the car? The size of this thing, this car I'm talking about. That's the size. Huh? I don't know the name. This is the size. What that's and that's all I know. Rain pushed it to one corner. So yeah, it's like New York now, because you're going back to New York. Come back to New York, see bad road, noise everywhere. New Jersey, New Hampshire, they are so quiet, so gentle. All their shops in order. You know, come to everybody's in line. Nobody talks to each other. I like how you stretch your hand and greet the person in front. Say, hey, ma, how are you? I haven't seen you for a while. I wanted to put you in a lighter mood to relax you a little bit. Praise the Lord. Now we're ready to move on. So, 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I told you on Thursday, and I want you to listen to me. Do not try to substitute Jesus with your good works. Your good works is not the mediator. Do not try to take out Jesus and put yourself. Without Christ, no God. There is only one mediator between you and God. And it's not a mediatorial ministry of one day. It's permanent. That's why Christ is all that matters. And it's humbling to many people to accept that they bring nothing to the table. So because they bring nothing to the table, they are not happy about it. They want to bring something. And like Solomon, Lord, I'm going to build you a house. And God said, what house will you build me, Solomon, seeing that my hand does all these things? What are you going to impress me with? He said, the whole earth is my footstool. The man cried Jesus. Everybody say, the man cried Jesus. He's your mediator. It's their connection, connector. Those who do plumbing, they know, don't let your wife do plumbing. The house will be full of water. The last thing women know is about plumbing. They don't know anything about it. So you better get a plumber and do your work. So that's what they call connector. What is connector? Two hoses. It has a connector. If you remove the connector, what will happen? Your house will be flooded. Jesus is your connector between you and God. You remove the connector, no God. Hopeless. Place is flooded. You put yourself, you are not the collector. The pressure will flush you out. You know, we like to think that we're the connectors. But the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other. You want to pray, you want to connect to God, the man Christ Jesus. You want to see healing, the man Christ Jesus. You want to see righteousness, the man Christ Jesus. You want to see the life, the eternal life that God gave you manifest, the man Christ Jesus. You want to see anything in that kingdom, the connector is the man Christ Jesus. You remove him, you're on your own. Only believe in him that he is the mediator, he is the connector. Paul said the simplicity of this thing. He said, I fear the devil will confuse you. Because he's so simple. Now let's look at how am I doing? I'm not doing okay. Okay, I'm gone. I'm not doing it again. I'm asking you, nobody's saying anything. Okay, you think I will go for where? Let's look at this one. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. New Century Version. What God made us, where we should be, and what we should focus on. 2 Corinthians 3 says, He made us able to be servants of a new agreement. He made us able to be servants of a new agreement from himself to his people. This new agreement is new covenant. It is not an agreement of written laws, but it is of the Spirit. The written law brings death, but the Spirit gives life. So we are ministers of the new covenant. Church, do not go to minister the old covenant of Moses. What matters is Christ, not Ten Commandments. The connector is Jesus, not Moses. He said, God has made us servants. You can put another translation there. Maybe New King James Version. Let's see what it says. Verses. New King James Version. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of what? I want to hear you. As ministers of what? That's what you should teach people. That's what you minister. The gospel is what you minister. The gospel of grace. Minister of reconciliation. That's what we are. That's what we teach in this church. That's what we focus on, Jesus Christ. Our four doors, if you don't like it, leave us alone. But I preach what God gave me. Because Jesus appeared to me. He came to me. He said, preach the gospel. Because all that matters is Christ. He's the connector. He's all and all. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit what? Gives life. And then in verse 7, from 7 to 11, he begins to compare the work of the New Testament, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the work of the law. There are nothing that we can't even begin to compare them. I read this before. But if the ministry of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory, I didn't finish, you moved. Which glory was passing away? How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? We're talking about the works of God declare the glory of God. So he's talking about what God did in Christ, incredible works of God for you and for me. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the work of the Spirit, not the works of the law that men do. So if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds what? Much more in glory. Continue. To 11. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Can I hear amen? So in verse 12. Now before we read on verse 12. Because he told us we are ministers of this new covenant. And he told us that the new covenant has greater glory than the Old Testament. Because the new covenant is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God directly. And then again, it's a revelation of God. Remember that God, Jesus had the fullness of God is in him. He was a full express manifestation of God. Never seen before. Never seen before. So that's what we are supposed to talk about. Christ is all that matters because he is the express image of God. He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So if Christ is all that matters, if Christ is the only hope of glory, if I need to meditate on these things, what should I meditate upon? You are not talking. Some don't believe that. Oh, what should I meditate upon? I didn't hear you. What should I meditate upon? What should I focus upon? Why? Christ is all that matters. Remember what I said at the beginning. People who succeed and have influence, they are not people of too many things. They are people of one thing. One thing. Paul said, I don't have too many interests. This one thing I do. And the man succeeded and had tremendous influence in life. This one thing I do. Christ. This one thing I do. I've been telling you in this church, focus on Jesus Christ. Stop listening to anything else. Focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. This one thing I do. Do this one thing now. Do this one thing and you see the glory of God in your life and you become a person of influence that God can use because of your faith and things to bring that glory manifesting to people. You become a real minister of the new gospel. Of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 3:12. No, before we go there, let's read 1 Timothy 4:15. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to others. New King James Version. Now we're talking about, remember Mary. Mary was giving all this talk about Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said, remove the stone, he changed her mind. It's because she didn't really believe that. All she was talking about was in her mental realm. She didn't believe that. They go down to her spirit. And then what brings it down, makes it go down, church, let me tell us now, tell you now, is meditation. Meditation is digesting the word. And the thing goes into your spirit, goes into your body. If you don't meditate on the word, you'll be like matter. You can come to church, teach Sunday school, do everything. But when they say remove the stone, you begin to talk another thing. It's meditation. So in 2 Corinthians 3:12, let's see what the Bible says we should meditate upon now. New King James Version. Therefore, since we have such hope, verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over where? His face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away where? See why Christ is all that matters? But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies in their heart. Nevertheless, when a man, when one turns to the Lord, what happens? Veil is taken away. When you turn to Moses, you have veil. You turn to the Lord, the veil. Because Christ is the light of the world. Don't be a Christian who has a veil. Don't end up in religion. That's why people go through all these rituals and think it matters in it. That's why they focus on somebody. Once they don't see the person, they create another. You must got to me. He said, what? He said, all these people who come to church and do this is trooping all over the place. They are looking for man of God from there, man of God. Some of them, they call by phone. See, they have Moses. They don't know me. He said, am I not the present help in times of what? Trouble. He said, am I not living in them? Am I not there with them? He said, if they don't know me, they look for Moses. If they don't find one Moses, they look for another one. And they are prepared to pay Moses to go to the mountain for them. Lazy! Why don't you go yourself? Everywhere has become quiet again. Praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. So, now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Let's continue. Because now when you turn to the Lord, your eyes is opened. The veil is taken away. Because the Spirit of Christ in you will reveal to you those things that are freely given to you. Now, continue now. Are you done? There's one more verse there. But we all, now, because we are Christians, with unveiled face, what do we behold? Beholding as in a mirror, what? What happens to us are being transformed, where? Into the same glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, we can see the glory of God. All of us. When we come to Christ, the veil is removed. The Spirit of God will show you these mighty works that God has done. The Bible says we have the Spirit, not of this world, but the Spirit that will show us all the things that are freely given to us. And the Bible says when you see those things, church, my brothers and sisters, if you see those things, when you see those things, when you see them, you believe them. You don't believe them until you see them, and you don't see them with the physical eyes. Come up here. Take your distance, come. And run. If you don't run, I will tell your in-laws. Oh. My friend, sit down. Come here. Who is this? His own? Look up here. I was joking. Is this his own? Come on, ask him. Is this his own? Some people say they don't know. They don't trust you. But is it your own? Yes. Okay, fine. Do you have it? Can you see it? Okay, you don't have it. Why? 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 You can see it. So you have it. Why are you convinced you have it? We were having an interesting conversation here. Me and him. Is that yours? Why is it yours? Can you see it? Are you sure it's your own?
Yes, it's
mine. No, but it's not your own.
It is my own.
No, it's not your own.
It is my own. It was bought and given to me.
I want to take it from you.
No, you cannot.
How do you know it's your own?
Because it is my own.
Fight the good fight of faith. Fight what? You can't fight when you don't see. Faith is not an abstract thing. It's a real thing. There's not an abstract in Christianity. What Christianity does is it shows you what is real in the spirit world. Because God is a spirit. Just like you see things with your physical eyes, you see things with your spiritual eyes. Brother Mug, come here. Come up here. I didn't come with what I wanted to give you, but come up here. I have a letter that came for you. They wrote it your name. I didn't bring it, but I want to tell you what is inside it. I opened that letter. At the back of it, they wrote it your name. Inside of it, I saw failure. I saw sickness.
I reject it.
But the person that wrote it is an important man of God. He said to tell you, so you come for prayer.
It's just a man of God. It's a human being.
Why is it not yours? Why is it not yours?
Because I reject that. That is not what God promised me.
Oh, really? You didn't see it?
But that's not what he promised me.
Did you see it in Christ?
Because Christ did not promise me that.
Did he give you that?
No, he wouldn't give me that.
So, but why did they write your name at the back?
That is their problem.
Are they deceivers?
I don't care. That's their problem.
Really?
Yes.
Are you sure you don't have that?
I know the promise I have in Christ.
There's one other letter I saw. It has your name.
Okay.
I saw inside they say healed.
That's for me. That's my food.
I saw inside they say prospered.
That's for me. That's my portion.
I saw inside they say you're a new creature.
I am in Christ.
I saw that they say you reign on earth.
Oh, that is my portion.
How do you know it's your portion?
Because it's a promise given to me. By Christ coming and dying for me, that is the promise, and that is what I am.
Who wrote the other first one?
The devil, he tries to deceive.
Who wrote the second one?
It's Christ in me in Christ from Christ.
So Christ wrote it to you?
Yes. Because it's a promise in his word.
So do you think the other person won't come back again to tell you another thing?
Because he knows whether he tries, it's not going to get anywhere.
So what are you doing? You are fighting the fight of what?
Good faith. I'm resisting.
You are resisting.
Yes.
And that's what you need to do because yes. There is a thief sneaking around.
And I resist.
Why is he a thief?
Because he comes to steal and destroy.
To steal what belongs
to me.
Give him. So the thief wants to steal. Why does he want to steal this thing? So he wants to steal it from you?
That's correct.
What do thieves do?
They steal.
They steal what belongs to? Okay. Supposing he comes to steal it and you are asleep.
I'm sleeping.
You are, let's just pretend he's what? Spiritually blind. And the thief comes.
No. You've done something. Error. There's something wrong.
Then, okay, goes to him. Bam. And, okay, go talk to him. Tell him something.
No, wait. You've taken something that belongs to me. You've taken something that belongs to me. It's somewhere. Somebody that is unauthorized has taken it from me. I want it back. I know it's missing. It's missing.
Will that bring it back?
It's missing. No.
Do something that bring it back now.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Are you talking to the father or to the thief?
Open my eyes. So that I can see.
He's talking to the father. Is it? Is it the father that stole it? Who stole it? His brother went to him and, come on, wake up from there. Then instead of talking to the thief, he's talking to the father. And that's what we do. I would do at that time is, hey, you thief, in the name of what? Jesus. Bring back what you stole from me. I take it back from you in Jesus' name, and it's done. Right? I love you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. See why she owns everything?
Praise the Lord. This thing that he's sharing with us is really, really very crucial. And that's really the primary reason you need to really know who you are in Christ. Someone called me from Nigeria just a few days ago. I didn't even tell my husband. He said, I saw you.
You are fired.
Said, amen. Praise the Lord.
You are fired.
And this
Why
is
Pastor Victor, check me out. Pastor, can we talk later, babe? I need one from your village.
Amen. And this is someone related to me, very close to me. And he said, I saw you. You had an accident and you were crushed and you were dead and my sister was crying and all that and all that and all that. I said, really? I said, well, that's not for me. I said, that's the devil's daughter. That devil is so wicked, he killed his own daughter. But my own father is a good daddy and he takes care of his own. He already told me that with long life, he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. He said to me that so long as I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, that I'm abiding under the shadow of Almighty. And I told her that my father is not an infidel. He takes care of his own. And I'm his own. And he takes her. In fact, that is in me 24/7. And he already told me that surely his goodness, his mercy shall follow me. Not some days, but all the day. In fact, I went on and on and on and on and on. And he said, but what if, I said, as far as somebody is a believer, unless the person does not know who he or she is. I said, but not with me. The devil is a liar. He knows that. I said, it's you that he's bothering, not me. But as far as I'm concerned, I am already soaked and covered by the blood of Jesus. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And he said, okay, what if it's an unbeliever? If I have this kind of dream, should I share with the person? I said, the Bible says two cannot work together except they are in agreement. The moment you tell them, they start meditating on it, they start thinking about it, and as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I said, why will you allow yourself to be the devil's agent of bad news? Why don't you become agent of good news? The Bible says, what things ever are true, pure, lovely, of good report, it has to pass all those, each one I call, I quote the scripture for her. At the end, she was so disarmed. She said, I am so afraid. I said, look now, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear. Fear is from outside. What God gave you is the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind, and so on. You must have to know who you are, and you need to know the scripture, so that when the devil comes, you checkmate him with Jesus that said, it is written, and he will flee. The Bible says, submit to God, submit to God. What does it mean? Submit to the word of God, resist the devil, and what will he do? Praise the Lord.
See why I married her? See why she trusts my money? You know, let me tell you people, before I traveled, the Lord was speaking to me vehemently on this in our priesthood. He said, many Christians are suffering unnecessarily. He said, I paid with my life, and I've neglected everything I paid for, and they're going for rituals. They're being deceived. So what they're looking for is already there for them. Then it's so easy. Only believe. Only believe. Only what? And you shall see. But you can't believe unless you meditate. To meditate is to mutter. Every day I go through these things. Once I want to pray, I start by thanking God for the blood of Jesus. I say, Lord, I come by faith in the blood, the new and living way you made for me to come. I say, your word said to come boldly before the throne of grace. So I come boldly, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't wear my righteousness as filthy rag. I wear the righteousness of Christ that you gave me by grace. It's part of my blessing that you gave me. I said, I come with praise. I come with worship. I come with thanksgiving. And I begin to thank him for my redemption, for my salvation, for my healing, for my strength, because of my new life. I said, I'm not who I used to be. I said, you've made me a new creature. And I go forth to my children, my grandchildren, my daughters, my boys. I thank him for them, that the blessings of God, he make it what? Rich. I come to this church, begin to thank him for you. Thank him for you. Begin to plead the blood of Jesus over everybody. Plead the blood of Jesus over this compound. Over. I mean, I don't stop. 40 minutes, 50, I'm not finished. If anybody's sick here, I call your name. I say, Lord, I plead the blood over this person. That's how you say it every day. The thing begins to go in and get rooted and get grounded. If anything comes, it comes up. Without effort, it comes up. Praise the Lord. Did you get what I'm saying? We're going to take the Holy Communion. We're going to remember all these things that are yours. Don't make it a ritual. Jesus said, in remembrance of me. And as we take it, I want you to know that healing is here. I didn't hear amen.